I have a question for you. Do you ever get anxious? Do you ever get anxious? That's a stupid question, isn't it? Because I think everybody gets anxious at some time or another. See a snake? You get anxious. Get a letter from the IRS? You get anxious. You need a bathroom? Immediately? You get anxious. We all get anxious. But then there are some people who are afraid of their shadow. They get anxious all the time. Their lives are defined by fear and anxiety, dread, insecurities. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to be a little impatient with people like that. And what I have just said is my weakness, not theirs. My judgmental spirit, or your judgmental spirit, may be what's wrong there. You see, there are people who are anxious because they've learned to be anxious through their parents or through their past experiences. And in a sense, they just can't help it. And perhaps you're one of those people. I don't know, I may be speaking to somebody like that right now. And perhaps if that's true, you need healing of your memories. Did you know that God can do that? He can heal memories. But here's something else. Psychologists have studied this for a long, long time. And they say that there are people who are genetically predestined to be anxious. In other words, they're born that way. And they undoubtedly hate it. They don't like carrying that burden any more than... But you know what? It's even worse if they're a Christian. Because if they're a Christian and they're that way, they know better, but they just can't seem to help themselves. Anxiety is in the DNA, and we know who put it there, don't we? Our enemy put it there. Perhaps you need healing from that. Did you know God can heal that? Picture with me a giant analytical chart. You see it? I'm holding it up. See it? A giant analytical chart of personality types. Can you see it? There are some people on one side of that chart who seldom ever show anxiety. They are the people that like to take a risk and they enjoy the adrenaline rush. They get a little bored if there's not enough excitement in their life. Those are the people who like to ride roller coasters. Not me, Lord. And then there's the other side of the chart. On the other side of the chart are the people who are very sensitive to anything that produces adrenaline. Just ask them to speak in public and watch them panic. I've seen that right here. They don't even like to be invited to parties for fear that they might have to speak to people. While those on one side might like jumping out of an airplane, there are those on the other side that don't even want to get into one. They're afraid of flying. Don't answer me, but where do you fit in that description, if at all? Well, as a Christian, I want to say that you and I are on equal footing because we all get anxious sometimes. We all do. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. For instance, this is Proverbs 12:25. It says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down." How true. Amen to that. Yes, it does. It weighs some people down more than other people, but it weighs everyone down to some degree. Anxiety can even make you sick. It can make you physically sick. Anxiety can make you mentally sick. Anxiety can make you emotionally sick. and it can make you spiritually sick. Now, Jesus knew all about that. And when he preached on the Sermon on the Mountain, I'm sorry, the Sermon on the Mount, he had a lot to say about anxiety. In Matthew 6:25, he said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." That's one of the many biblical teachings that we all know in our heads, amen? We know that in our heads. But living that out is a very different thing. And by the way, that truth alone can make some people very anxious. Okay, Jesus talked about anxiety, and he did it in the context of things. He introduced this teaching with a very pointed statement in verse 24. He said, "You cannot serve God and money." And the word that he used for money there can also be translated possessions. You cannot serve God and possessions. I asked myself this question, "Harry, do you have too much stuff?" I won't probe. Considering how materialistic your life and my life can be, Jesus is already making us squirm. He goes on in this passage and he talks about various things that all of us encounter, and then he gives us the best formula for dealing with it. And let's review his formula. He said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will put on your body. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothing?" I don't know about you, but I've discovered that I have many idols in my life, and one of them is listed in that scripture. Food. Somebody mentioned it in the blessings. Food. I love food. You already know that, don't you? I have lots of company on that. There's lots of people that love food. I have a wonderful Wegmans grocery store very near my home. It's my second temple of worship. And they have my favorite brand of ice cream, Tillamook. I love Tillamook ice cream. If I run low on Tillamook ice cream, I get anxious. So it's a good thing Wegmans is close by. That, by the way, is another true confession. But before you judge me, please take a survey of yourself. Are there materialistic things in your life that you just have to be happy? I mean, for some people, it's coffee. I'm meddling now. I'm not. For some people, it's Netflix. For some people, it's a certain type of car. And whenever something that you just have to make you happy is unavailable, watch anxiety take over. On top of all that, anxiety can be destructive. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 27. He said, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your lifespan?" Another way of saying that is being overly anxious actually can shorten your life. And hearing that makes some people even more anxious. It's like that song that's in a loop and it just keeps playing over and over. You keep hearing it, you can't get it out of your head, it never stops playing. Now, in this very familiar teaching, Jesus talks about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and God blesses them all, and then it's almost like he points a divine finger at you and me. And he says, "Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith." I do not like hearing that. Do you? But we all need to hear that. We need to hear that. Then Jesus tells us what to do about all this anxiety that we tend to hold on to and embrace. And it's a very short, simple statement. It carries with it a long journey of growing in the Lord. And here's what he said. He said, but first, did he say second? Did he say third? What did he say? First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well, he said. Question: how are you doing with that directive? Seeking first the kingdom of God. How are you doing? Can you say with absolute integrity that you always seek first the kingdom of God? Think about what Jesus just said as a prescription. According to the Son of God, the prescription for anxiety is to seek first the kingdom of God. Does the world offer any prescriptions to us to help us with our anxiety? You bet it does. A doctor or a therapist might say to you, try deep, slow breathing, as if that's going to take care of your anxiety. It might help for a moment. Here's some more. Get more exercise. Yuck. Or here is a pill for that. Huh. Or make an appointment with a counselor. Oh. Listen, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with getting help for your anxiety from sources like those, unless they become the first thing you go after. The doctors, the pills, the counselors, and especially if they are the only thing you go after. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Do you, as a Christian, treasure the Word of God? I'm sure you do. Well, here are some nuggets from it. 1 Peter 5, cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We often miss that one. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And this is Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you a pill. I will give you rest. A little earlier, we were talking about how the world might say to us to make an appointment with a counselor. I want to talk a little bit more about that. God approves of counselors. He even recommends counselors. Proverbs 15:22, plans fail without advice, but with many counselors, they are established. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction. Why? That you may be wise in your latter days. Is anybody here in their latter days? What these and other scriptures do not say is place your life totally in the hands of one single counselor. The Word of God applauds seeking advice from multiple counselors, with this exception. God declares Himself to be your one ultimate counselor. Did you hear that? Isaiah 9, for to us a child is born and a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's just one of his names. We're going to be talking about that in Advent. He's our Wonderful Counselor. This is Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. John 14, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit. whom the Father will send in my name. And he will teach you all things and will bring to you remembrance all things I have said to you. God is your ultimate source of counsel. And his word, your ultimate source of counsel. And he made it very clear. He can perfectly help you with your anxieties. Now, before we move on, let me say this. If you do seek the help of a counselor, make sure he or she is a Christian. It makes a huge difference. And here's something I think we need to acknowledge. We live in a world of tremendous change and uncertainty and big challenges all around us all the time. Those who study such things say that there is more fear in today's society than there has been in the last 100 years. Imagine, there's more fear in our society today than in the last 100 years. If you are not careful, that fear will creep into your life and do tremendous damage. It will erode your confidence in God. It will make you more self-absorbed. Instead of loving other people, you will want to withdraw from people. And just forget the joy of the Lord in your life. It just won't be there if you allow that fear to overtake you. That is probably why fear not is the most common command in the Bible. Did you know that? Believe it or not, it's second only, let's rephrase that. Believe it or not, second to it is the command, love God and love your neighbor. That one is found 8 times. Fear not is found 125 times. I was really shocked when I discovered that. Here's something else that may surprise you. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, anxiety is the most common form of mental illness, affecting approximately 40 million people in America alone. And the most common side effect of all that is to worry. Are you a worrier? About 40 years ago, a researcher by the name of Dr. Walter Cavert did a study on things that people tend to worry about the most, and his study of 40 years ago is still relevant today. Listen to what he discovered. He said, 40% of the things that we worry about never happen. 40% never happen. 30% of our worries concern the past, which cannot be changed. That's 70% so far of the things we worry about. 12% of the worries, he said, are needless worries about our health. 10% of our worries are insignificant or petty. And that leaves only 8% of the worries that are legitimate troubles for us. So 90% of the time, you worriers are wasting your time and your energy. As I said, that study was 40 years ago. Well, about 2,000 years ago, a man who was inspired by the Holy Spirit said this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Think on these things." So one of the primary keys to dealing with your anxiety is to change your way of thinking. Here's some really good news. God wants to bless you. Let him. Jesus wants to give you peace. Let him. The Holy Spirit wants to comfort you. Let him. Would you pray with me? Father God, I just pray that these words will just land like an arrow in the heart of anyone who needs to hear them, and that you, Lord, will help heal them from their memories, their hurts, their anxieties, that you will replace them, Lord, with your peace, your overwhelming peace. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will shower each person here now with healing at any and every level they need. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.